Welcome to another reality show hosted by Golden Hawk. Join Golden Hawk as she travels down the rabbit hole exploring many of life's mysteries and adventures. Because here at another reality show, we're not afraid to let our imagination soar and our intuition run wild. So relax, get comfortable, because for the next 2 hours, we're inviting you to open your heart, spread your wings, and fly. And now, here's Golden Hawk.
Hello! Hello, everybody. Welcome to another reality show. I am your host, Golden Hawk, and oh, my God. It is 10-10-12, and I'll be honest with you, there is some kind of energy gate clearly opened. I believe for all of us, but I'm telling you, it is tripping Golden Hawk out and up and flipping me, and it's gonna be a very interesting show. I have the delightful and enchanting Jennifer Adele with me tonight, which I'm so grateful because her wisdom on vast areas of earth and space and animals and all things nature. I know it's going to help me, and I'm really feeling the timing on this, that I think it's going to help all of us that are experiencing these energies in a really expansive way. So first, everybody help me welcome Jennifer to the show. Welcome to the show, Jennifer.
Thank you. It's always great to be here and to hang out.
right on. Glad that you're here. And well, happy 10-10.
Thank you.
You know, this feels like there was a saying, another radio show host used to say, there were certain shows that were hard hats and goggles kind of shows.
It's going to get real. It's going to get messy.
Exactly. I mean, but hey, I kind of feel like what you just said, that almost feels like that's the energy of the planet right now. It's going to get real. It's going to get messy. And, you know, it almost begs to be redefined as, instead of it being a negative, that it's getting real and that it's getting messy, that it's really the divine, you know, the way I've been saying it is, we're in the birth canal. So the compression is here, but the compression is what is pushing us through organically to experience, you know, the birthing of ourselves when this part of the journey is complete, you know, and just out of curiosity.
We can't, you know, be afraid to play in the dirt, you know. I think it's a little bit mandatory at this point. You know, get down, get real, and get, you know, with it. Get with the planet and the cosmos and what's happening. We're all lining up.
Yeah, right on. Just out of curiosity, have you ever got a hit or any kind of insight to what the gestation period is and how long we might be in the birth canal?
Well, honestly, I think, honestly, the worst part of it, the roughest part of the ride that everybody's feeling so intense right now, and I keep coming back to this, you know, it is 2012. We are lining up with our galactic center. Whether people like it or not, they're being told, come back to who you are, come back to your roots, be authentic, because we need you to be. We don't need a million cogs and a million wheels that all do the same and look the same. We need you. And it's also a 5-year, so it's balanced with challenges and freedoms. Now, next year, after the first true lunar month, the first true lunar cycle, and we move into 2013, we're going to be asked then, now that we know who we are, we've met our challenges, we know our freedoms, it's our turn to be of service. I think next year you're going to see this big push of, I want to do something for the world, or I want to do something for my neighbor, or I want to make this a better place. I want to save something or save something or salvage something. So I honestly think that if you can make it till February or March of next year, you'll be fine. Hang in there.
right on. And you know what? I really do resonate with that, because in the compression period, I mean, speaking for myself, in the compression period, I really am not, I'm not inspired to be of service in the sense of, you know, in the compression period, I'm really inspired to kind of go into solitude, because I mean, I'll be honest with you. Today, I had some very strong emotional slash mental energy. I went to the woods, and because I had an experience with Jennifer that was really, you know, I would call it kind of flashing my underbelly in a very fearful state. And it's interesting because I didn't think I was in my head so much, but what I got when I went to the woods was that it's actually, there's an energy that is letting go of my mental body. And in the releasing of my mental body, I really got scared of, you know, well, how will I think and how will I process my life? And as soon as I turned that experience into fear, you know, I lashed out. It was kind of like the animal that gets, you know, you see in the corner when, you know, if it gets frightened, it just starts swinging and chopping. And and I, you know, I want to say this publicly that Jennifer met me head to head on the phone. And I'm telling you, when I'm lashing out, I am a rhinoceros, as me and Simon have once spoken about. And, you know, not many people want to get into a, you know, a walk-in closet with a rhinoceros, and especially a raging rhinoceros. But she held her ground. It reminded me of Avatar. When they first landed on the Avatar planet in their Avatar bodies, and the doctor was telling Jake, you know, what, so, like, this animal is a monkey and it's very docile and don't let it, you know. And then he got up to that kind of, you know, it was like a hammerhead rhinoceros being. And she was like, hold your ground. And Jennifer did. And I really respect that because I'm a powerful force to be dealt with in my wonderful alignment, but when I'm not in alignment, I really am just a loose cannon. And so I really appreciate you showing that kind of integrity and that the show is happening tonight. So thank you very much for that, Jen. Really.
I'm honored. Wow. I really, first of all, I really respect what you just said. It takes a lot. And, you know, we all have those moments. And I think those moments are when you really find out who's going to go to the mat with you, you
right.
know?
Exactly.
Who's
going to
stand there and be like, well, I love you. Here's what I see.
Yeah,
you
no,
know?
Right on. You had a presence. Because the only thing that I, and this is what I think is really almost symbolic of of the energies that are coming in, because it's symbolic that being released from my mental body is the freedom that I have been working on for lifetimes. I mean, this is the point where I want to be, and yet as I'm living through it, it's becoming clearer and clearer to me that, you know, it's not going to be the cakewalk that on some level, and I really have never expected it to be a cakewalk, but the truth is, actually living through it, I never expected what I'm experiencing either. You know what I mean? It's like there's no playbook here. There's no experience I have to say, oh, well, I know what it's going to feel like. And maybe the actual physical birth of me into this third dimension is equivalent, but I don't remember that. So this experience is very much, you know, it's an exquisitely natural, beautiful experience, and it's exquisitely painful, frightening, and triggering every aspect of my brain that's going, what the hell is going on? And I don't know. I'm kind of floating.
I bet you feel more alive. I bet you feel a lot more alive.
Right on. I do. The awareness becomes the true value of the experience, because what the woods told me was so, when I went to the forest after our conversation, it was so clear to me that, you know, the woods were, because the truth is, once again, when I'm in my witness, which is what the woods brings me to, the woods immediately brings me into my soul experience. I'm starting to recognize, as long as I'm in fear, I'm not in my soul. I'm not in the witness. it covers every base, because presence and being in the witness and being our souls, this is where everything that in our moment that's happening to us, we have all the tools to handle it, all of it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was truly profound, and I'm in awe. I'm in awe of life itself. I mean, I swear to God, you know, even the
well, how wonderful. That's wonderful.
Right on. I mean, right, it's better than being bored. I can't imagine being bored at this point. And I've heard people say they're bored, and I'm like, wow, if you I can't. Oh, okay. That's certainly not my experience.
Yeah, if you're bored, you're not paying attention.
Well, and I would say you're actually, yeah, if you're bored, you're almost, because it would almost seem that would have to be artificial. There's mm-hmm. nothing organic. Nobody is not going through severe shifts. It's just a matter of, I guess, the acceptance of it or not.
Yeah.
So, all right. One of the things that I'm truly grateful for having you on the show is really the vast knowledge that you have about nature and animals and the relationship within, you know, how the animals actually work within nature. Because something that's been coming up for me in real time is, and I've been noticing it everywhere, is the idea of me tracking my life. And I'm finding that, like today, I was tracking the fear. And it's like I literally could track it to the ego and the personality. And because it's not just about, you know, tracking my emotions. I'm tracking, I tend to find, I'm tracking my energy when it's, am I feeling contracted? Am I feeling expanded? Because it seems that from the witness point of view, tracking is almost like a way, it's like a data counter. You know, I'm taking in data that's kind of like the EEG of my chart and my, you know, my blood pressure and the, you know, the heartbeat. And it's weird because I'm tracking the data not just from what I witness in life, but also from, very much from, the sensations that I'm feeling in my body.
Mm-hmm.
So what I wanted to do is, if we could share, you know, well, first of all, what are your, do you experience this? Because, I mean, your vast knowledge, on some level, clearly you've been tracking yourself, like the whole wisdom of these kingdoms, the animal kingdom and the plant kingdom and astrology.
Yeah, I do. I do track. And it's interesting because I read something one time and it stuck with me. Like, it was amazing because it turned my whole concept of life and the soul and the body on its head. Now, whether it's true or not, it's, you know, nobody really knows, but it's one of those things that just makes you approach the subject differently, which is good, you know. It's kind of
right
like
on.
Seeing a map where Australia is at the top and, you know, the United States is on the bottom because in space it's all relative. So,
right on.
What's interesting is I saw a quote and it said, imagine if the body is the teacher and the soul is the student.
Okay.
And I thought, that's fascinating because our soul has agreed to be incorporated into this particular form. Why? To learn from it. So it's fascinating to think of, we automatically assume that the soul is trying to teach the body. What if the body in this life is trying to teach the soul? So it's very important to track what you're feeling in the body so that the soul can learn from it.
Where's the applause button?
Okay.
You know what? I totally resonate with that. Because you know what? It so fits in with the philosophy of, it really does appear that everything the Matrix taught me is upside down and inside out.
Mm-hmm.
And that really does fit, because the truth is, the soul is all-knowing, but the soul is not all-experiencing.
Right.
The experience happens in the third dimension, in the physical dimension, which is why we come here in the first place. Because you know, we can know, we think a thought in the soul's realms and those thoughts manifest. But in the physical realm, we don't just think, we feel. Mm-hmm. Because things have slowed down and time is experienced not in the flash of a moment, but over an extended period of now moments, making everything a much deeper felt experience. That's why when I see the New Agers talk about, you know, it's all about your thoughts, change your thoughts, change your world. And I'm like, okay, that works if you're in the soul realm, but that does not work in the physical realm. You know,
right.
It's more than thoughts because it's clear that part of the physical realm is feelings and sensations. So, okay.
And it's just
right
as valid. It's less as valid as the spiritual realm. You know, I mean, each has something that, you know, needs the balance of the other. And so I think sometimes what happens is you get people that are very focused on light and thought and projection and manifesting in the spiritual world, but they won't ground that in any sort of physical reality that allows for all sorts of experiences and all sorts of instruction, both pleasant and unpleasant. So, you know, that you tend to get almost like a personality that winds up lopsided.
Yeah, right on. Right on. So, so let me ask you this. Are there any... like indigenous animals to North America, even though I realize not everybody's calling or in from North America. So, okay, let's not even ask it that way then. So what animals would be indigenous to helping us recognize this, either being out of balance or being in balance?
Well, that's really fascinating. The one that I mean, obviously everybody's going to have their own personal preferences, but when it
right.
comes to balance, there is one animal that really kind of stands above the rest. And
okay.
this is not because I'm partial, but it's definitely squirrels.
Okay.
Squirrels are all about balance. They work just as much as they play.
Oh,
they break everything up. They're all about living in the moment as much as planning for the future. They are very much about preparation as well as, you know, spontaneity. You know, you will see squirrels just roll around in leaves just because. Right in the middle of working, they'll just drop, roll, and play. They're very much about that balance. It's a work-life, work-play balance. And squirrels, I don't know, most people probably don't look at squirrels as much, but you ever see a squirrel running about the treetops? I mean, they're just as vivid and alive and in spirit as a lion running through the Serengeti. I mean, they are certain
absolutely. Absolutely.
That it's all about them. And it takes tremendous balance to walk those branches, to be in those treetops. The Nordic people actually believed that, you know, in the Tree of Life, where, you know, you have the heavens and then you have the middle section, which is earth, and then you have the underworld, which is the roots.
Okay.
Part of their mythology was that there was a messenger that would run up and down the trees to both the underworld and the upper world to bring messages on behalf of people and those living in the earthly realm, and that messenger was a squirrel.
Right on.
So it was that constant balance of up and down, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, no, that's... And I love it because now squirrel is indigenous. Like, I mean, Simon's calling from Norway. Are there squirrels in Norway?
There are squirrels everywhere but Antarctica.
Right on.
They are on every continent except for Antarctica. And India has the largest squirrel, which is the giant Indian squirrel. It's 3 feet minus the tail.
Wow.
And to give you a little bit of scope, like perspective, instead of holding, let's say, a peanut in its front forepaws, it can hold a coconut.
Wow. So that's
that
almost like
a squirrel.
Yeah, there's another animal that kind of looks like a squirrel. That rodent looking. I can't think of it. But
we have chipmunks.
Yeah, no. Well, chipmunks. Is that part of the squirrel family? Is that the same
they
family?
Are. Same family.
Oh.
Groundhogs are also part of the same family.
Okay, right on. And the groundhog is actually, I would assume that's about a 3 foot, or is that a little smaller? I guess they can...
to 3 feet, and they are pretty tenacious
yeah.
Animals. they think that they're big stuff, you know?
I must have groundhog in me.
Groundhogs are awesome.
Well, it's so funny, because when I'm driving, there's this parkway that I travel on often, and it's literally built through the woods. It was originally built on a riverbed. And there are groundhogs all the time on the sides of the roads, you know, eating the grass. And a lot of times they get literally, they're actually right on the road on the edge of the grass, and I'll honk, you know, trying to come up on them, you know, going, you know, no, go in. And in all honesty, are they not good here? Do they not have a good sense of hearing?
No, they do. They just don't care.
They just don't care. Wow. Even
they feel totally secure. I actually rescued a baby groundhog one time from the side of a road. The baby had strayed a little bit too far. It was, I don't want to say quite juvenile, it was a little bit younger. And it had strayed a little bit too close to the road to where mom really didn't feel safe coming to get it. And there was no shoulder, no nothing. It was coming around this bend. And I see it, and I see that mom's distressed. So I hit my brake and put on my hazards, and I get out. And I'm thinking, oh, my gosh, somebody's going to hit me from behind because you can't really see much coming up around that bend.
Right.
And I reached down and I grabbed the baby, and I thought she's gonna nail me for sure, you know, she's gonna be pissed and she's gonna bite me. And I just kinda helped the baby out, and she grabbed him and ran off, and I was like, okay.
Oh, nice.
And I didn't get
hit.
She was happy, and the baby was safe, so good day.
Yay! Another applause moment. Thank you, Jennifer. I like those stories.
Yeah.
By the way, your friend Diane Anderson, who's in the chat room, says hello. And
yay,
she couldn't call in, but she's here to support you.
It's okay. I love you, Diane. My sister.
Nice. And also, I just want everybody to know, if we've been having solar flares that are definitely making BTR, Blog Talk Radio, go a little wacky and haywire. There's two things you can do. If the sound goes out, you can reboot the whole page. But what I also recommend, which seems to work pretty good, is there's a link on the episode page that says listen in your default player. That seems to go out less than if you're listening directly from the page. So I want to put that out there, since we're going to have a lot of people calling in, and, you know, it might get a little. And, of course, you know, Goldie's losing her marbles today, so anything can happen. But I wanted to share that for everybody.
Oh.
Well, at least I know I'm losing my marbles now. Because
awareness.
So,
awareness. Yeah. There you
no,
go.
Right
you
on.
Have it.
Right on. And I really, it's so funny, because when me and Jennifer were first planning the show, you know, she sent me a bunch of dates that she was available, and I was like, okay, I need to feel into this. I don't know. And I was in the forest, and I literally got the hit, do the show with Jennifer on 10-10. You know, and I was just looking at it, oh, how nice, synchronistic numbers, yay. You know, and the truth is, as I go through these periods of expansion, it's like a whole new set of rules comes in, and I really am grateful for those. You know, this is like you were saying earlier, that, you know, we each have a gift that we bring to the table, so to speak. And I know that part of my gift is the honoring of the darkness, but there is, for me, there's also a plethora of information through totems, and like all day long I was going, you know, watch, see what you're seeing, you know, what are the clouds doing, what are the birds coming near you? Because let me ask you a question too. Woodpecker, what I saw several woodpeckers in the woods today, which I thought was kind of interesting, because I got the sense, oh sure, it's pecking away at my mental body. But I was like, I'm gonna ask Jen about that on the air, because
That's a really good question. Woodpeckers, and were they the redheaded ones, the pileated, have like the bright woody woodpecker,
yes,
redhead?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I always ask that because they're just my favorites. They really, really don't have anything
too.
Else to do.
Yes, they almost seem timid, but they're not timid. But they buzz around a lot.
They're another balance animal. They're actually another balance animal. Not quite as much as the squirrel. It's not like a primary, but it's in there.
Okay.
Woodpeckers are about finding hidden layers and truths. You know, constantly, you know, digging into it. Rhythms and cycles are big for them too. They also signal, they signal for warnings. They're big on communication and sending up like little warning signs from within. So it's like, hey, you need to pay attention to this. You need to pay attention. You need to pay attention. The interesting thing with them about balance is both the male and the female woodpeckers share equal time incubating the eggs and taking care of the nesting space.
Ah.
So it's really a nice bit of balance that's mingled with a sense of progress.
Oh, right on. That's so perfect for today. That is. Yay!
You just love it.
I, well, because you know what? I can't emphasize enough that being in nature, for me, and you know, several of the people within my inner circle, yourself included, this is an essential vitamin or stream of consciousness, whatever you want to name it or label it, nature must be a part of our diet. It must be a part of our actual experience, because there's no way I don't know how to mentally get myself into the witness, but I'm truly realizing that the body knows how to get itself into the witness when I'm in an energetic field that's organic, that's completely organic. No EMFs. You know, no buzzing lights or, you know, refrigerator, you know, plug-ins, but the trees and the dirt and the animals and, you know, the mushrooms and all of that.
Well, there's actually studies going on now to try to get a clinical diagnosis for something known as nature deficit disorder. And
really?
And there's like a whole list of symptoms that go with, you know, people, specifically they're really focusing on children, but people... when they are away from natural resources too long, what kind of, you know, symptoms that creates both in the mental and physical body? You know, what kind of symptoms are we creating by putting ourselves in cubicles under fluorescent light with no fresh air because windows don't open, we don't see trees, we don't touch grass, you know, and soil, one of the things that's really interesting about this, one of the studies is that they're testing soil and they're finding that there are chemical properties, components in natural soil that actually act like SSRI, serotonin reuptake inhibitors. They help you boost your mood. Sticking your hands and feet in natural dirt actually creates a chemical reaction in the body that boosts your mood.
What?
And we have so much depression. You know, I mean, think about the numbers for depression. I mean, what? That's going to be cured by sticking your hands in the dirt? Wow.
Well, Ed, you know, I swear to you, this is so synchronistic. My life is so synchronistic because when I had a nanny gig today from 4 to 7, and I'm at the gig. I'm with my little 5-year-old, and we the cleaning people were in the playroom. So I was like, I literally was like, I was still loving being outside. I was like, come on, Sahana, let's go outside. And so she was riding her bike for a bit, and then she was like, I want to sit on the stone wall. I was like, come sit on the stone wall. And so we started talking about that. She goes, oh, look, I got some dirt on me. And I go, you know, I go, there are people that pay $300 to put dirt on their bodies. I go, because they forget what it's like to just go outside and get dirt on their bodies. And she looks at me, she goes, well, why would they, you know, pay $300? And I go, it's a mud bath. They, you know, it's like just, you know, pick a rainy day. It doesn't even have to be a rainy day. Go to the forest and put dirt all over your body. It's free. And I mean, I have done this, and it really does. It's extraordinary. It just immediately soothes and calms my being. I mean, immediately.
Well, you know, the weird thing that I discovered today, and I don't know why I've never discovered this before, but here in Missouri, it's kind of chilly, or at least in St. Louis, it's been kind of chilly. This morning, it was in the 40s, and I went for an early morning walk. And I have a favorite place that I like to sit. It's in a grove of oaks. And I walked over there this morning, and I had on my nice cloak, and I was all bundled up in it, and I didn't really want to take my I have a habit of taking my shoes off and putting my feet on the tree, and I was like, oh, it's cold. I don't really want to slide my shoes off and put my bare feet on the tree, but I kind of really wanted to anyway, so I thought, a couple minutes, you know, what'll it hurt? I slid my shoes off, and I put my feet on the tree. Now, it's pretty cold outside. Trees are actually warm. To the touch.
They are. I have felt that.
They are
that.
Warm. I don't know why I never noticed that before, but my feet stayed, I know it's so bizarre, but my feet stayed warm for like, I was out there for 30 minutes like that. My feet never got cold.
Wow. Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But now my shoes were cold by the time I put my feet back in them. But yeah, I mean, trees are, when the weather's cold, touch a tree, they're warm.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I have also found that for me anyways, they each have a light. But they're not all like I. For the longest time, I thought all trees had white light inside of them, but mm-hmm. I have seen red light, and I have also seen blue light.
Mm.
You know, and this is in my inner eye, not through sight, but
right.
And it made sense to me because I went, you know, you want to bet they're not, you know, the whole planet, you know, we all call ourselves earthlings. You know, in my humble opinion, we've all kind of been, you know, we've been brought here from somewhere. You know, Earth mm-hmm. is, you know, the melting pot of the cosmos. And mm-hmm. so it would make sense that not every tree is the same. I mean, I get that it's obvious in the breeds or I don't know what you call trees, but the different types.
Species, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Species. Wow. It's actually a species, which because their light is different, and it's also like, you know, the pine tree, for me, gets me through the smell, where as the cedar, but the oak tree really touches my spirit when I'm touching an oak tree. And, mm-hmm. you know, different trees affect me differently.
Well, and that's what the Tree of Life was modeled after. We were talking about, you know, the squirrel going up and down. And the Tree of Life was an oak tree in the mythologies. And it makes sense. I mean, look at where acorns come from. You know, I mean, most squirrels that I see, the large number of dens and drays are in oak.
Yeah, huh, right on.
You know, so there's a correlation there. I think a lot of the folklore and myths and that hold symbolic truths.
Yeah, right on. So okay, let me pose one more question, then I can sense there's some callers, because I'm thinking what we can do is maybe take calls, keep talking, because we don't have 8 callers, but we had a caller and they left, so
okay.
I know people are anxious to have your reads. But like I said, well, you know, we'll just kind of play it as it goes. So, okay, so if you're interested, so I'm going to open up. We are opening up the phone lines, and we're going to keep talking too. You know, we'll mix and match, and you know, like we're animals.
Yeah.
So also, if you're in the chat room, I realize Simon, if you want to ask a question, you don't have to call in from Norway. No problem. You can if you're in the chat room, you can type out a question, and I would be happy to share it. And if you're on the phone lines, the number to call in is 646-929-2084. And if you want to ask a question, press 1, and then you'll be up in the queue, and I will get to everybody. I'll get to the calls in the order that they come in. Okay, we have a caller, but they're not putting their hand up, so, and nobody's in the chat room, so we'll keep talking, but it's
okay.
Open now, so, yeah, just to let everybody know it's open. So, let me ask you, all right, so this idea of tracking, because, you know, we were talking earlier, and I'm curious how tracking has affected your life, or can you share how it's, because I it's so funny, my brain is not really engaged, like I'm unplugged. So I don't kind of have the flow that I'm usually comfortable with.
Okay.
But my intuition is telling me, ask Jennifer.
Well, I can give you an answer and an example. I have a meditation technique that I found is pretty universal, actually. Every time I've recommended it to somebody, it really resonates. So
okay.
I'll share it because it really is a type of tracking. Within the human psyche, there are many, many, many different layers or personalities, if you don't mind my saying that, specifically corrugated between like the anima, the animus, you know, ego and soul, spirit child, things like that, things that are all considered different personalities. One of the things that I found in meditation, if I'm trying to figure out, let's say I've got, you know, all kinds of crazy shit going on in my head, okay? All kinds of crazy
I can relate.
Okay? Because it happens.
Okay.
Let's say that that's going on and I really can't get a handle on where I'm going wrong, why things are bothering me, something's off and I can't get a handle on it.
Okay.
I have a meditation technique where I imagine myself going into a cave and I'm trying to reach the very center. And I'll walk as long as it takes me in meditation to feel like I've found that center in that cave. And sometimes it's longer and sometimes I get there right away.
Okay.
But then once I come to that center, I imagine that in the center of the cave is this little old sagely-looking woman, and she is the all-mother. She is mother to everything and everyone. She has birthed all of us, and she can answer any question that I have. And so then I sit down with her, and tell her exactly what's going on in my life, and then I wait for the answer.
Nice.
So it's like this really interesting connection, because a lot of life on this planet came from the oceans, and a lot of people considered the ocean mother. And we all feel like we have this, somewhere deep inside us, we all feel like we have this universal mother figure. For primates specifically, which is what we are, the mother-child bond, that pair bond, is the strongest.
Right.
So I find that that meditation process actually strikes a chord in every human I've met I've shared that with. And I find that it's a great way to track that, because that aspect of your psyche really does have the answers and really wants to give it to you, but you have to envision it as a separate person so that it can be heard. It's a great way to kind of track, but to track with the sense of it's a friend that's going to talk to me and not judge me.
Right on.
And they can
see
from an outside perspective I can't see from.
Okay. See, that's the witness. And right on. Mm-hmm. Right on. Okay. Your friend Diane would like a reading. Do you have? She didn't type a question. Diane, do you have a specific question? Or actually, Jen, you take over and I'll read whatever she writes, because I guess I don't know how you want to do the reading. So,
Well, I thought what I would do, unless somebody has a really specific request, is I would do one nature symbol and one specific animal.
Okay.
To kind of blend them together so you kind of feel like you're getting, you know, something really complete and balanced. I'm going to go ahead and do that unless you stop me with more information.
Okay, she just basically said, let you surprise her. So, right on.
Okay.
You guys are in sync. Right
She's
on.
A brave
right.
soul, isn't she?
Well, your readings are amazing. And what I want everybody to remember, too, is it's not a coincidence. Every reading that happens tonight, on some level, will apply to every single one of us here. There is a group consciousness that's always happening. So, tune into every reading, for every reading has purpose. It's why we're hearing the reading. So,
mm-hmm. Okay, well, I'm going to start with the nature symbol first,
okay,
and then we'll go ahead and move into the animal symbolism. For Diane, the nature symbol is actually a specific point in time, the autumn equinox.
Huh.
So we are bringing more balance in, because it's the day when day and nighttime are equal in length. So basically what they're asking you to make sure that all aspects of your life are in balance with one another, both your work time and your rest time, the time you give and the time and amount that you give to others, and the time and amount you set aside for yourself.
Mm.
Okay. Make sure that anything that no longer suits you is released, just like leaves falling off a tree. This is kind of the season of your life where you will want to just release stuff that no longer fits, so you have room for all the new that's going to try to come in. And then the animal that is coming into play here is the owl. The owl has very specific feminine energy. It's been tied to so many goddesses from so many different cultures throughout history. So it naturally has kind of a feminine tone to it because of that. It's also tied to darkness and liberation.
Mm.
Typically, by going into darker spaces, we become liberated. And in doing so, we need to make sure that we're very tied to our own natural cycles. I always tell women, try to sync up with the moon a little bit as you're working on some of your darker personal aspects and you're seeking liberation, because the moon is a visual symbol that you can see that mimics, you know, your menstruation cycle in your body.
Mm.
So you're going to sync up anyway. So you might as well have that visual symbol. And then, of course, moving a little bit further, keep in mind that the owl is a nocturnal bird, so you're going to find a lot of your epiphanies coming to you probably late at night, odds are right before you go to sleep.
Mm. Awesome. I mean, Jen, that was for me, too. I mean, I'm listening to my own advice going, yep, that's, Diane is, what did she say? She likes owls. That's why I can't sleep. Thank you, my dear. And I'm just reading it.
Diane is like the sweetest person ever. If you ever meet her, you can't help but hug her. I just have to hug her every time I see her.
Cyber hug to Diane. Thank you for coming into the show. I appreciate it, Diane. And anybody else, if you're in the if you're in the chat room, just type the question, and this way I'll know. And if not, and she says you're the sweetest too, Jen. It's a love fest. It's a love fest.
It is.
I love it.
Yay! I'm so unashamed. I'm not ashamed.
Right on. Right on. Strong, powerful words. I like that because we just got no room for shame. You know, shame and guilt. What an energy waste, man. I just got no time for that these days. So, yeah, that was a pretty good read. Actually, would you be open to doing a read for me?
Sure, absolutely.
Because, you know, even though I truly, I'm telling you, that read felt very much, you know, well, I have a feeling every read tonight I'm good. You know, I already know it. It's going to be spot on. So, I mean, not even just the reads, everything we're talking. You know what I mean? It just feels good.
It's just coming together. It's just coming together.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Is it okay if I do the nature symbol first then for you as well?
Whatever works for you. Absolutely.
Okay. Your nature symbol is the tree. So that's interesting. We were just talking about those trees. Specific tree. In the card, it's reflected. It's a tree, but its reflection is in a pool of water. So it looks like a perfect mirror image. Okay. But you can tell that its roots are grounded in the soil, and you can see them kind of peeking up here and there. This tree specifically speaks of grounding. So it's going to be time over the next, I'm sensing like about a week.
Okay.
You're going to want to consistently ground. Consistently bring yourself back to the earth, back to your roots. Ancestor awareness is also a really good meditative practice for times like these, where you become aware of the fact, even if you don't know who your ancestors are, that's okay, but you become aware of the fact that you are the result of so many couplings of love. And you have all these ancestors that stretch back infinitely that are supportive of you energetically. You're of their lineage, and their energy is supportive of you.
Right on.
So that's another way to kind of, you know, in a more spiritual sense, not just the physical, to kind of ground yourself in who you are in relation to everyone that has been in your line.
Okay.
The animal is the scarab. Scarab it carries the same, you know, everybody treats a scarab kind of special. It's a beetle.
Okay.
All beetles kind of carry a very similar totemic energy pattern, which is the life-death life cycle. Sometimes that's referred to as the life-death rebirth cycle.
Imagine that, Jen.
Yeah, how about that? But it makes you aware, you know, it makes you aware that you are rebirthing. That, you know, you have to have some decay and some destruction in order to have materials available for the rebirth.
Right.
They're also really big recyclers, scarabs are. They repurpose and recycle so many things. So they're good at using what's discarded to create new seeds of creation.
Nice. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, you know, that fits. Or as Janine would say, there it is. Yes, there it is. You know, the scarab is that. Well, it's just, I love confirmation. And life is so confirming, especially when we're open, you know, to the awareness of the confirmation, which comes from the willingness to see ourselves in as we are based on the reactions and the reflections you're getting from the outside world. You know, it's like that's all part of this. Very good. Okay, so we spoke about a story today about you tracking the building. I'm not quite sure how to work that in, but talk to me about this.
I had a very interesting experience. You know, I've been working a lot with, for the past 3 years in very different circumstances, I've been working a lot with the concept of sentience. Or sentience, depending on who you're talking to. I tend to butcher words sometimes when I'm using them verbally. So we always think of things that are biologically alive as possibly being sentient. I mean, some people don't, obviously. Some people think that it's just humans and animals are animals and plants are plants and they're just there for our amusement. But, beyond that, most people that we're probably going to know would agree that animals, at least, also have a soul or some sort of sentience about them. And probably most people would also agree that about plants, although I do have a friend who, you know, freaks her out every time I say that. But
really?
What happened? Huh. Yeah, I do have some friends that have a hard time with that. I've found that sometimes when people are vegetarian, they you know, they're not eating animals, but then when they have to deal with the concept that plants might be their vegetative language, it kind of freaks them out. So I'm always very careful. I don't want to upset anybody. Preach their own, do what you feel good about. But, yeah, so most people can at least conceive of the fact that something that's biologically alive could have some intelligence, sentience, or soul about it. What was interesting to me was I had an experience, this was back in the summer, with a building. And this building was, I was at a friend's, I had had tea, I had a little bit of time to kill before going somewhere else, and I went for a walk around the neighborhood because I didn't know the neighborhood, and I thought, I'll explore it.
Nice.
And I came across this beautiful, in its heyday, it must have been really something, beautiful U-shaped apartment building. It was built in the 20s, and it had 36 units, I know because I looked it up online afterwards, and it was just condensed. I mean, it was just run down, oh my God, it was in this dilapidated state. But you could still see what it had once been. I mean, the beauty in the structure, the beauty in the bones, and the energy that came off of this structure that was conceived with such art and such love, it was still there and still incredibly vibrant. And there was something about it that moved me to such depths that I was like, oh, hopefully somebody's going to salvage this property, because if not, I'll find a way, because it should not sit here rot like this. Of course, somebody did wind up picking it up, but I have never felt such a connection, because I looked at that building and I looked at it and in my heart I said, you have such potentials. And what was weird was I felt the building look back and say to me, you have such potentials.
Wow.
It was just, I still visit the property. It's like it's my friend. You know, I still visit the property.
No, it speaks to you. It speaks to you.
It does.
Yeah.
And I started to have to consider that All things, even the void, and not just matter, but even things that don't have matter or mass, all things have some form of sentience. It's just sometimes we don't speak or understand the language.
I agree. I agree wholeheartedly. I do. I remember when I was nannying, I think it was Alana, and I would talk to her and tell her, you know, the water is conscious. Mm-hmm. And then she'd go to school and, she'd talk in science and go, you know, the water's conscious and it's alive. And, you know, the teacher would look at her and go, you know, what are you talking about? And she'd be like, my nanny told me the water is conscious. And I was like, you know, but the teacher literally was like, you know, if you write that on, you know, on a test or whatever, it's going to be marked wrong. And I go, boy, you know, to me, you know, our education, so to speak, and you know, is so obsolete.
It's like we stalled in 1982 or something. You know, it's just like we hit the 80s and hit a stall, and we just never moved from there.
No, that's it. And that was interesting because 87 was when the harmonic convergence happened, which, you know, seems to be a very, you know, clearly a unique time for most people in the consciousness, you know, the human consciousness and the shifting of all of it. And how interesting that, you know, the powers that be might, you know, might stop it, you know, without getting into conspiracies at a time when we were, you know, right at the cusp of coming into a huge awareness, including the children that are coming into the planet. I do want to say one other thing, too, that there was one time that I had an experience where when I looked at a structure, it glowed brightly and responded back to me. That it, in other words, it acknowledged my attention on it.
Mm-hmm.
And that was when I was on the spaceship.
Mm.
So as soon as you said that to me, and because what I really believe is, This 10-10 gate, all the shifting that's happening now, it's not necessarily that you are on a spaceship, but we are literally becoming multidimensional. Well, I want to say we're becoming aware of our multidimensions. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when a building talks to you, you know, I look at that and go, and when you see the pristineness, it's almost like, you're seeing it in the time that it was quite alive, you know, because was it an apartment building or a hotel or?
Yeah, it was an apartment building at one time. You could tell, I mean, it had what was, I'm sure, a very grand courtyard in the center. It had, oh my gosh, I fell in love. It had this underground parking. You had to drive underground the structure. It looked like a moat. And the garage door looked like a drawbridge. And you had to go down underneath. And it was just the most elegant, beautiful thing I'd ever seen. And it was just kind of left to rot, you know, you know, urban decay being what it is.
Right.
But you could really see that it had at one point in time been the epitome of everything beautiful, and that essence still remained intact.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes, because, you know, past and future are mind concepts. It's all now. Because it's interesting. We're not just becoming aware of our multi-dimensions, but multi-dimensions include all time frames, you know, and not as being in the past or the future, but as being experienced now, you know, and you know, I get it. I'm having trouble wrapping my mind around this, but when I'm in the woods and I'm in clearly in the present moment where, like, I'll go to the woods worried about not having enough money, you know, and not having a job at the moment to generate more money. Mm-hmm. And when I get to the woods, I mean, within minutes, you know, I'm just like looking at the tree and gazing at the tree, seeing the birds, seeing what's around me, listening to the crackling of the branches, watching, like, it just seems like this awareness always tells me, you know, like I said earlier in the beginning of the program, that there's no need I don't have to plan this. I don't have to know beyond this moment. It's in the awareness of this moment that if there is a job waiting for me, I'll know it in the moment that I need to make a phone call or send an email or, you know what I mean?
It'll just happen.
It'll just happen. Now, do you have, can you share any experiences where, you know, other than the building where you've kind of been aware of, you know, a peripheral vision of life or a synchronicity or...
You know, it's interesting. I constantly feel, and maybe it's more this time of the year, you know, depending on, you know, everybody has their own beliefs, and I'm certainly, you know, whatever you believe, that's fine. Just be nice. But,
of course. Yeah, right. I try to be.
Yeah. I'm part of being, you know, as a pagan, you know, right around this time of the year and also in the spring at the cross point between the autumn equinox and the winter solstice.
Okay.
There's a cross point. We call it Samhain. You all know it as Halloween.
Okay.
so our traditions have carried forward. But we believe that the veil between the worlds, as we would say, becomes very thin.
Okay.
At this point in time, and also between the spring equinox and the summer solstice, the same thing kind of happens. It's noticed a little bit more in the autumn time, and I think that's because in that spring-summer time frame, there's all these other energies that are coming to life, both on a physical level and otherwise, so it's becoming very active anyway, so we don't notice it quite as intensely, even though it's happening.
Right.
But
on.
In the fall, everything's slowing down.
Exactly.
So we do notice it. I've been noticing, and people laugh at me when I say this, but it always starts with the phantom squirrels, because I have raised many, many, many squirrels.
Oh,
you know, sometimes, you know, you get one that doesn't make it and it passes on. Sometimes, you know, you a lot of the time you get successful ones that then go out into the wild and do what they need to do. And I was at a drum circle the other night, and I was saying, you know, I'm starting to get my phantom squirrels. I think I see squirrels, and then I turn and they're not there. And I said, I wonder if it's, you know, the squirrels that passed that didn't make it. And one of my friends turned to me and she goes, maybe it's the spirits of all the ones that did and are just coming back to say thank you.
Oh, right on.
You know, and that's really wonderful.
Yeah.
But I do notice that there's this consistent, even when things aren't thin, quite like now, there's this consistent sense of an energetic web and a strand runs right through me that connects me to the whole rest of it, to, you know, everything. And I find that I find it very comforting because even when I'm physically alone, I never feel alone.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, no, part of my tracking is that I became so abundantly aware that I too I not only don't get lonely anymore, I actually seek solitude.
Mm-hmm. Because, I do too. Yeah.
Yeah, because what I'm becoming, you know, blatantly aware of is my empathic abilities are heightened. But in all honesty, I'm not sure I even want to learn how to separate myself from feeling somebody else, because to me that sounds counterintuitive to mm-hmm. to entering into a state of oneness. Mm-hmm. What I'm really wanting more to do is I want to learn the art of having my experiences and not being the raging rhinoceros in response to it. You know, it's like have the experience, and when I feel, you know, the volcanic movement or the earthquake movement, which is also, I mean, the earth is doing so much moving. You go to YouTube, all these people that are showing, I mean, the ring of fire all over the planet, mm-hmm. the plates are moving. I mean, you know, there is movement going on in the heavens with the stars. There is movement going on with the plates within the core of our planet. You know, and we're in the middle, if not we're in all of it, because we are all of it.
Mm-hmm.
That what I'm really wanting to do is, like I was saying, learn the art of the alchemy that, you know, like, because today actually, you know, the trigger was, it was horrible. I mean, it's horrible, you know, pushing people's buttons and getting in a state of confusion and feeling, you know, that loop thinking where it's like, ah, damn it, you know, when something goes wrong and it just literally loops and loops and loops.
Mm-hmm.
And then, but what it does is when I got to the forest, it really does alchemize by just sitting in it into a clarity that instead of it being, you know, like, again, you know, the analogy I like to use is that it's the compression that moves my soul forward, because my soul, And I agree that the body has the experience, but it's like the experience that I have in time progresses me through no time in the soul. You know,
mm-hmm.
that they play off of each other, that the shadow does have purpose. That's why I always say I'm a poster child for the shadow, because if I avoid everything that makes me uncomfortable, my soul won't get the experience that it keeps creating to make me uncomfortable.
Right. You don't prolong your discomfort. It's sort of like the Zen proverb of let go or be dragged.
Exactly.
You know, you have a choice. Right on. But either way you're going,
right on.
You know.
Right on. Right on, yeah. Babe. Right on. And I've been experiencing, it's so funny, both sides, and never more poignantly have I been feeling that, you know, these disturbances empathically, or it's not to be avoided. I don't want to avoid it. I want to, and see, my mind wants to understand it. And I clearly get when I'm in my now moment, let go of wanting to understand it, that at least from the mind, it's really about owning it and becoming it.
Mm-hmm.
And that, within that, there's a wisdom that, in all honesty, I don't even know yet necessarily how to share, you know, because there, it's a nonverbal.
But you have to integrate it first. I think sometimes you can share that verbally because somebody will just sync up with you.
Right.
But I also
right.
think that sometimes you can display it just by your very presence.
Mm. Right on, babe. Right on. Right on. And it's a journey that can't be rushed. You know, you can't say, all right, you know, come on. The integration is on its own timeline. You know, it doesn't care about, you know, fast food or 10 minutes I got a radio show. I mean, it doesn't care. The integration happens on its own space and its own time. And which, you know, which is interesting because for me that becomes the humbling effect. Of, you know, because it's the antithesis to control,
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
the integration definitely feels like it is what is being destroyed is my desire to control my life. You know,
And that's good because it means you're getting your power back. People that become obsessed with control, and we've all met people like that. Oh, my gosh, you know.
Yeah.
The only reason they're doing it is because on some level they feel powerless.
Yeah.
And that's
right
how they're trying to handle that.
Yeah, no, it's so true, and it's so interesting because it's the definitions we've been taught as children. You know, what was initially put into us for me to define my world is so upside down, inside out, and backwards from the organic truth. That's what I have been finding on this journey to unplugging from, you know. What I call the matrix.
Yeah, and I totally agree with you because I've been finding the same thing. It seems like everything is backwards, and what's really important is the opposite of what they're telling you.
Yeah. It's a very, it's so funny because I tell all my friends, we're living in the best of times, we're living in the worst of times.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's so... And finding a balance is, you know, as my dear friend Janine would say, is an art. I mean, it really is an art, you know, because the pain is excruciating. And I get it. I really do get it. Nobody wants to feel the pain. But to eliminate the pain, you know, is... eliminating a part of the journey that's necessary. Because how many of us really thought about it? How, you know, it really must have been pretty painful coming down the birth canal of our mother's wombs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was pretty tight considering, you know, depending on, you know, who we were
ask
and how big
woman.
We were.
Yeah.
Ask any woman.
That looks tight, you know. Yes, it does.
Exactly. So, you know, it's like, and, you know, I guess it's so funny because I know so many people that, I mean, I can tell you, I move my arms right now because I have a thing. It's not claustrophobia. I'm not claustrophobic, but like, you know, when they wrap babies, you know, they show you how to do that wrap.
Oh, the baby burrito. Yeah. That's what I've always heard it called. So.
Well, I'll be honest with you. In hair, I always leave the arms out because I'm like, they're like, oh, but that's a comfort. And I'm going, it's like they're putting the baby back into the canal, not the womb.
Mm-hmm.
The womb, okay, I get it. It's gel. It's, you know, it's dark. It's warm. But they had movement.
Mm-hmm.
Wrapping the baby just inherently in me felt, you know, I'm like, no. I would always take the little arms and wrap around. And, you know, of course, some moms would come in, well, you know, wrap my kid's arms. You know. And I'm like, you know, this is, all right, I'm just a nanny.
I'll do what you want me to do.
Exactly. I mean, but it's exactly, you know, it's like, and it's, again, see, there's that, you know, I don't think the mother, you know, in my humble opinion, is really feeling into it. It's just, oh, that's what the pediatrician told me to do. That's what I'm doing.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and,
oh, yeah.
You know. We are living in the time to take our power back. And it's so funny because our power is not the same power we're giving up. Because, well,
mm-hmm.
Let me ask you. So how do you interpret the magic or can you interpret what you feel the potential of humanity is, you know, in the days that we're living in from the magical perspective?
What do I feel our potentials are? Is that what you're asking me?
Yeah. And
I
realize, you know, be a visionary. In other words, it doesn't have to be a factual thing. Just a
yeah, no, that's an interesting question. it's not really one that I've pondered a whole lot. What I envision, and I think what my hope is for humanity is freedom. And when we think of freedom, we think
right
of equal rights. We think of a lot of different things.
Okay.
But that's not really freedom. You're in the
system.
If you are born in a
first
world
country,
unless you're an illegal
immigrant,
you know, something like that, you are born with a name and a
number
and you're on the grid and you will never
know
freedom. The odds of you knowing what it's like to just do what you want to do and not in some way be societally trapped,
right?
It's so slim. to be able to take off and go back to nature, that is my hope for all of humanity. Even if we take some of our technologies with us.
Yeah.
You know, I would be fine with that. I love my iPhone. But, you know, sometimes I just want to, you know, put it away, go to the woods, and not be bothered.
Right, right.
You know, I also hope that we can each be brave enough to be authentic. That's a big freedom. I think that if we weren't all trying to be the same 10 people, if we weren't all trying to imitate the people we think we should be, we would be so much happier. We'd be getting so much further.
I agree.
I think we have the potential in us. I really do. I think that we just have to be courageous enough to face freedom, face the risks inherent in freedom, and be brave enough to be exactly who we are.
So can you share a personal example of your own journey of facing freedom? Because I wholeheartedly agree.
I left the daily grind, as it were.
Okay, there you go.
I left the rat race in April.
Oh, nice.
And this, you know, not to be disparaging. You know, if you enjoy your job, you love what you do, you like the routine, you like it. More power to you.
Mm-hmm.
That just wasn't me, and I had to go. I had to be honest with myself. And I had to follow my heart. And, you know, it's been scary. But I have more time for family, for self, and for nature.
Right on, babe. Right on. Well, and can you feel the energy moving, flowing through your being, you know, more, if not, you know, abundantly more? Like, for me,
I'm being me now. Not me centered, not me tailored to my environment or my career field.
Yeah, huh?
I'm just being me. And when you realize that you have the strength and the courage to be you, despite the fact that everybody's telling you you should be someone else.
Yeah, yeah.
There is a confidence. It's not body confidence so much as it's confidence in your body.
Yeah, right on.
And confidence in yourself. You know?
I'm definitely experiencing, even with all the unplugging that I'm going through, you know, from the mental realms, in the past week, the confidence, well, it's funny because the confidence for me seems to be in total juxtaposition of my level of awareness expanding.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, because I'll notice that I'll be sitting in the woods, and I will sense a chipmunk, and I don't know if I heard it. It doesn't feel like I heard it. I swear to God, it's like I feel the patter on the ground, and it's about, you know, 20 feet away from me, and I'll turn around and I'll zero in on it, and it's like the confidence is letting me know that there's senses. That if they're part of the five senses, it's really, you know, the five senses way, the volume way up, because it's not just my head, which is where four out of the five senses reside. I sound like a four out of five dentist. but it's actually, it's my cells. You know, in other words, it's not even just the sensation of touch. It feels like every part of my being is becoming aware of its holographic nature. So everything is talking to everything. The cells of the forest and the cells of the chipmunk are talking to the cells of my being. You know, and it's not even that it's a communication. It's kind of just becoming the awareness of the oneness of everything. And this is very new for me. I've always enjoyed the forest, but I have this blending, so to speak, of where does my energy end and the energy of the forest begin is becoming very blurry.
And I think that's actually closer to what we might consider reality. And reality is really hard to define.
Yeah.
But I think that's closer to truth. we're not separated out in the way that we visually perceive and the way that we've been taught to perceive. I mean, we need to be able to distinguish ourselves for survival and for other pragmatic reasons.
Okay.
The higher truth, the higher reality, after we get a grasp of that physical reality, that separateness, is the oneness. So it's kind of like a yin and yang. You need the separateness, but it has to be balanced by the oneness.
Right.
You know.
Well, and it does appear that the oneness, as it comes into, like I was contemplating this. Was it today? I don't think it was today. I think it was yesterday. That, you know, I've seen, you know, people write, like Jesus said, and I'm by no means a Bible pusher or anything, but Jesus said that in the twinkling of an eye, you know, all will be changed. And when I thought about this, that statement while I was in the woods, what came to me so profoundly was, because consciousness can change in the twinkling of an eye. And when I'm conscious of the truth of that, in this dimension, my body appears separate to your body, but in the dimension of energy, where we both end and where we both begin is much more blurred. You can't define it so distinctly as the end of my fingers and the beginning of your fingers. And by having that awareness, you know, I know my hands are separate, but I don't pick up a hammer and start hammering, you know, my left hand hammering my right hand. In other words, we would treat each other so very differently when we recognize that we really are an extension of self, and not just each other. The whole environment and how we live wouldn't be so anti-life. It just seems like what really pains me the most in the world is that the artificial way is becoming so clear to me that it's anti-life. You know, it's like, you know,
well,
I love
to look at it this way. You know, life can't be controlled. And so many people feel so helpless. They would much rather feel they could have something that could be controlled, even if it has no value, than to have something that can't be controlled.
Okay, wait. Go deeper. Keep going with that, because I'm not sure I understand what you meant by that.
When you look at nature, I mean, life always finds a way. You can't really control or predict what's going to happen in a completely natural, wild setting.
Okay.
But you can, to a certain extent, predict what's going to happen in your office building, predict what's going to happen in your house, predict what's going to happen on your street with some amount of reasonable certainty. Now, there's always, you know, the chaos element.
Right.
But by and large, it seems much more controllable and therefore safe. Even if it has less natural value. You can't grow food on the concrete, and you won't live long without food. But you would much rather, you know, have that than live in the wild.
Yeah, right. Shelter, too. You want to be warm when the weather gets cold. You want to be, you know, in a shelter and covered. And right on.
And I don't really
think
the two are mutually exclusive, but we fooled ourselves into thinking that they are.
Well, we fooled ourselves, or because we've taken it to, you know, to such an extreme where, you know, that, you know, I don't think we're fooling ourselves. We really are the next species to go extinct if we continue to cut down the trees and, you know, drop oil in the water. Right. I mean, these are, you know, basically, you know, I laugh when I hear people say, you know, we got to save the planet. It's like, no, you got to save we got to save ourselves. It's us that are going to go extinct. The planet will, you know, have a few volcanoes, and I promise you, number five plastic will melt in a volcano.
Yeah.
and it'll recycle itself, and, you know, the plants will take over again. And however, you know, even though I really don't feel that that's, you know, because there is, I don't feel that that's the destiny of the planet. I don't believe we're destined to go extinct, but I do believe we're destined to, along with the planet, to ascend to our next level of being. You know,
I totally agree. I think it's an imperative.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree as well. And it also feels, you know, clearly the timing seems right in that, I mean, you know, not just because of the Mayans, even though I'm super appreciative of them, you know, throwing a calendar our way to let us know when it's coming.
Right, they did a good job tracking time.
Well, right on, exactly. Because, see, you know, and that's, I'm glad you brought us back to that because, you know, I can't emphasize enough self-reflection being a major helpful assistance to self-awareness that, you know, because like when you were saying that you don't get lonely anymore, it's like I truly do see that how I have, like I can list you fears that I have had when, you know, in my 20s and 30s that I have since literally taken those fears by facing them. And they have transmuted and transcended, and they are now the cornerstones of my strength. And I think it's important to track that as we get to this, whatever it is, the next 3 months for me personally, especially mm-hmm. seeing that we're only in the second week in October, how truly chaotic I am experiencing this energy. I mean, and I really do feel that it's...
Is there something special going on for you in the next 3 months?
Well, I just feel like it's the culmination of the culmination of the last 3 months of 2012. For mm-hmm. me, just I've kind of been preparing myself for zero point, which mm-hmm. is the ultimate release of not just belief systems, but everything. I mean, releasing the body, you know, going through a death, and I don't know how that death will look, whether it'll be a conscious death or simultaneously a conscious death into the rebirth, but mm-hmm. it just feels like it's one of those, you know, time's up, but of course simultaneously because time is now eternal, you know, which is the ultimate, you know, matter, antimatter, time, timelessness. Because, mm-hmm. and these are, you know, to actually consciously live through these things, they're really quite dramatic. And I know because just losing my mental acuity is scary. I mean, let alone, you know, dying, physically dying.
For a long time, you know, it feels like, and it, I mean, to a certain extent, it is a very integrated aspect of yourself.
Mm.
And, you know, to give that up is frightening. And keep in mind, you might have a mourning period.
Right. Right.
And that's natural.
Yeah, no, right on. Right on. On some level, that's almost what I experienced today. Like, I was grateful for the clarity.
Mm-hmm.
But there's, you know, there in the surrender, it's not bliss. It's different than bliss. It's almost, you know, there's a relief, like a sigh of, oh, okay. But, you know, like, I can't get beyond the moment. You know, there's no answer for me beyond the moment, which that is, you know, there's a struggle in me about that because I just, you know, it's hard to let go of the mental that's going, well, what are you going to do? And I'm like, well, I don't know because I don't know what the hell's going on with me. It's just, it's a very, it's a very challenging experience. And, you know, of course, part of my journey is to do this somewhat publicly, which is, mm-hmm. you know.
But when you
also
do that, when you lift yourself up, and mm-hmm. other people and do other it, people it, do it gives everyone around you permission to lift themselves up.
Right on. Thank you. Right on. Right on. And that's what I say. For me, these 3 months, when you said it at the beginning of the show, I was in a circle, Psychic Junkies, a group that I've known for like a couple of years. And I recently went because I was like, I'm missing community. I want to come out a little. Mm-hmm. And as soon as I got into the circle, you know, a gentleman was there and he's talking about, you know, being of service to others. You know, and I just, in one of only those golden moments Goldie can have, I was like, listen, my services, I'm doing it. Beyond that, I have no responsibility for any, and you know me, I mean, you know, clearly.
Yeah.
I mean, because I'm like, because the rules change in a game that we've never experienced before. It's like losing your mind is, it's like, you know, all of a sudden, just picture it. One flew over the cuckoo's nest. Well, they're running, you know, these are the people running the planet at this point from the ascension point of view. You know, Simon, I'm waiting for you guys in the chat room. We're talking because nobody wrote up a question. Simon goes, so what about them readings? If you want a reading and you're in the chat room, type that you want a reading and we'll do readings. It's just, if you guys don't type it. Exactly. She's more than happy to do it. I'm more than happy to shut up. I didn't want to talk that much tonight. Simon, Janine has been asking twice. Oh, I didn't even see that. I'm sorry, Janine. My bad.
Okay,
thank you.
Are we doing one for Janine?
Okay, Janine, I asked three times. Oh, my God. Thank God she's a good friend. She's going to rip me a new butthole tonight. Yes, I'm sorry. Okay, I'll keep an eye on. I haven't been looking at the chat room. Okay, yes. So, Janine, do you have a question or do you want it to? I have a feeling I know. Janine just wants a general.
A general.
Yeah.
You can sense it, right?
Yeah. So, sorry, guys. Sorry. Just
open. Okay.
Yeah, right on. Thank you.
All right, so Janine, your nature symbol is the cave. So the cave, of course, is the earthen womb. You're being asked to kind of withdraw, come back to basic life stuff, basic life goals, what's most important in your life, and incubate that within the self. Let it become solid so that when you step out of the proverbial cave again, you're not distracted by all the constant buzz that goes on in life. Okay? Your animal in association is the tiger. Now, tiger, when people get the tiger, it's some serious stuff. You know, it's kind of a rocky moment, you know, eye of the tiger. But let's talk a little bit about what that means. Tiger is all about primal power. It is the biggest of the large cats. Okay. It outweighs a lion. And it's all about passion and adventure. Stepping into your own personal power and appreciating both perception and mystical energies. Something tells me this is going to emerge for you more after the cave period. So you're going to move from being in your cave to stepping out in tiger energy.
Now, is there any way to know the time frame? Like, are these, or is that
you know,
intuitive?
It's usually individual to the person. Like, they'll kind of typically have a sense of how that's going to happen in their life by what's going on.
Right on.
You know, sometimes if I press a little bit, I can get a little bit more of a feel.
Yeah, no, and I don't, you wouldn't have to press. I mean, Janine is, she says thank you, by the way, and she also said it was a great reading.
Oh, good.
I was just curious if, you know, this, but, you know, of course, I'm looking for the cookie cutter. Oh, this is from 3 to 6 months for this. And because, right, I'm grasping for anything that's
give it to you. Oh, my God.
Right on, sister. Good. Keep it real. This is why we love you, Jen. Keep it real. Thank you very much. I do remember Janine. Of course. That's why I know this is perfect. Yes. Of course. She was in the cave last week. Literally. Yeah. So it was spot on, as always. So right on, Jen. Right on. Now, does anybody else want a reading? I'm looking. I'm keeping an eye. Because there's a few of you. Kathy, would you like a reading? Or Nathaniel? See, nobody's typing. Oh, Simon's typing. Simon, I was going to say, I know Simon really enjoys your readings. Me.
Okay. Oh, okay, then it's going to be you.
Now, Simon, do you have a question or do you want it pertaining to any area or you want to keep it open? And Simon? Okay, he's typing now. Open, I guess. Okay, great.
Oh, all right. Your nature symbol is the desert.
The desert
is typically a space for vision quest. Mm. We were talking a little bit about Jesus and the Christian mythos earlier.
Right.
In that mythos, Jesus goes into the desert. And he quests for 40 days.
Right on.
A lot of Native American traditions involve vision questing in the desert. What it is asking you really is to strip away anything in your life that is not currently necessary. Take some time for yourself and envision what it is you want in your life. And don't allow any new distractions to come in until you have a firm vision. So you're going to stay in that psychic desert until you have achieved your firm vision for your life. Okay. The animal that is coming into play is the dog. Now, that's kind of unusual because it's not a wild animal. It's a domesticated animal. But it still carries quite a bit of ancient totemic behavior.
What kind of behavior?
Devotion. Totemic.
Oh, totemic. Okay.
Totemic, yeah. Sorry.
No, I just didn't. Right on. Keep going. Sorry.
So the dog is all about devotion, loyalty, kindness, protection, service to others, and the pack. Okay? Your vision is ultimately going to be related to very loyal, noble, and kind goals. You are meant to provide some sort of service to the greater all that is. So contributing to the greater good.
Right on. How does that feel, Simon? Does that feel like a spot on? And his response is coming all the way from Norway. Yeah, he says thanks.
Wow.
Yeah.
Aww,
you're welcome. Yeah. Yeah. Simon's literally up there, you know, near the North Pole or the South Pole.
I bet it's cold.
And that is cold and dark. God bless him. He doesn't have squirrels. Oh, no, he has squirrels, right? Oh, no, we just said Antarctica was the only, which is so funny.
He has squirrels somewhere.
He has squirrels because they're light and trees and, you know, I imagine they're actually part of the ecosystem that actually makes it.
For a lot of hardwood trees.
Yeah, exactly, huh? That they're part of the synergy that makes the trees what they are, just like the bees and the flowers. Okay, we have a caller. Area code 412, you're on the air with Jennifer Adele.
Hi, this is Melissa. I was wondering if I could get a reading.
Sure. I'm sorry, what was your name?
Veronica.
Thanks for calling to Veronica.
Okay.
There you go.
Do you want a general reading or something very specific?
A general reading is fairly fine.
Okay. All right.
Your nature symbol
is the rainbow. And the rainbow in all sorts of cultural, historical mythos is a sign of blessing. You know, if you look towards even the more popular Christian story of the flood, it ended with, you know, a rainbow, a sign of promises, a sign of blessing. Also, the rainbow is color from light and water refraction. So it is something that has a visual presence without having physical mass.
Okay.
So what that tells me is that a lot of your blessings are going to emerge on the spiritual level and then trickle down, touching the mental, emotional, and then physical. Okay? So kind of be open to positive energy. Really allow them to kind of flow into your life. Now, the animal that's coming with that is the goat. I love the goat because the goat is so sure-footed. You ever see, one on TV and they're kind of, like, jumping, running up the mountainside? And, I mean, they're just so great when they land. Solid. So they have that sure-footedness along their journey. They trust themselves. They trust the environment. They trust that it's all going to come together as it should. Okay? That's kind of the message. The other thing is that you have a great amount of ability. Okay? Ability is something that's inherent in goat energy. Okay? There's also a little bit of mischief, a little bit of capriciousness. So you might want to kind of mellow out and kind of enjoy as you're moving forward.
Okay.
Did you have any questions?
Not with that, no. I didn't have any questions with that. That was good.
So do you feel satisfied?
I'm sorry, I almost choked. Oh, yeah.
Okay, no, there'll be no choking on the show tonight. We don't have a card for that. No, I'm joking. You're right?
Yes, I'm fine. No, that's fine. Is there anything else?
Well, if you wanted to get into a deeper read, you're welcome. Jennifer, this would be a great time to share. These are kind of like mini reads. She does do more in-depth reads, so... Can you share with everybody listening how to get a hold of you and all your information?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Well, the one thing I will share with her really quickly is
seeing
your nature symbol and your animal symbol, you kind of have both the heavens, the skies, and the earth covered. So it's providing you with a lot of balance. The goat is very, very earthy, very driven. The rainbow is very etheric, and it just kind of it exists without having to try. It exists without having to really try or work at it. There's no striving with a rainbow.
Okay.
Okay, so you have a really good balance there.
That's good. That's good to know. If I beat myself, I'm like trying to figure out, am I balanced?
Yeah, right on. I know that feeling, Veronica. I know that feeling very well.
But, yeah, you can reach me if you need something more in-depth. You can reach me. All my contact info is on my website. And I'm also happy to just answer questions, just email me. And my email address is on the site, too, under contact. My website is www.earthandpawtotems.com.
What was it again?
www.earthandpawtotems.com.
Paw like a dog's feet? Paw?
Yeah,
but singular.
Like a dog's feet. Yeah, plural. Paws.
Right. Oh, it's plural. Yeah. It is plural. Oh, okay.
It is
my bad.
Plural.
Okay.
Okay.
earthandpawtotem.com.
Okay. Well,
yeah, she takes very good care of her clients. So, yeah, right on. Thank you for calling in. I appreciate you calling in.
All right, no problem. Thank you.
Bye. All right,
thank you.
Take care. So, and you're welcome to stay on the line if you want and listen to other callers or the rest of the show. So, you know, feel free. So, so we're in 10-10. So. Okay, so what just passed? I guess the equinox just passed. Not the equinox.
Yeah, the equinox.
So, just out of curiosity, I guess that was in September. We're already in October, because,
Okay,
hi. Slow down, Goldie. I'm telling you. Something that's coming up for me, and it actually got triggered when you were giving Veronica her share, was that, you know, when you said that she has the heavens and the earth covered.
Mm-hmm.
When I was coming into October, for whatever the reason, my inner voice was guiding me to start clicking on YouTubes that were all about the astrology for October. And... it seemed to be pretty prevalent in everybody's readings that there's five planets that are basically moving into new houses. And some of these are like, you know, 20 years of a planet was in a house. Some are 2 years a planet was in a house. can you share anything about, you know, the heavens and what's kind of happening in the heavens of late and how that would affect us?
Well, I mean, you know, it really depends on who you ask. I'm just going to kind of put it at
that
front.
I get
that. Yeah, I mean, every astrologer is going to kind of read it different, depending on what aspect they're focusing on and what have you. I will tell you that when you have major planetary shifts like that,
okay,
especially if your outer planets like Saturn and Jupiter, you know, things are moving out further and further away from Earth.
Yeah.
It's going to be dealing with less stuff that's happening on a personal, individual level and more of a global societal level. Okay, so it's not just one or two people having experiences as certain planets are moving into certain positions, but whole societies are going to have very similar effects.
Huh. That feels like it's, you know... That's
well,
in
the
divine
big thing
timing.
The big thing right now is Saturn moving into Scorpio.
Okay,
it
can you share
Libra. Libra, which is a sign of balance.
Okay.
It's also an air sign, which is all about, you know, the mental, intellectual realm.
Okay.
And it took a nosedive right into Scorpio.
Okay.
Scorpionic waters don't like middle of the road. They don't want to negotiate. It's all about yes or no. Black or white,
right,
and Scorpio really doesn't like any kind of injustice. So it's all about fighting for the just cause and pushing that agenda forward at all costs. And Saturn really hits on that concept of who are you personally, who are you authentically, you know, you need to get to these priorities. So when you have that kind of energy, which is a really strong, very draconian energy in a fixed water sign like Scorpio that isn't going to have any hem or haw or middle of the road, you have a lot of intensity. People feel like they're in a pressure cooker.
Oh, my God.
And they're being
Everybody raise your hands if that's for you. Okay.
I sense you all are doing is put your hands down. We know.
Okay. Exactly. I mean, it's almost like, I guess it was last weekend that this whole, you know, the moving into or out of Libra into Scorpio happened.
Yeah, it was
and
like
it's amazing.
Days ago.
Yeah, like you can feel it as like a defining, like all of a sudden one day you're one way and then these planets move. Because let me ask you a question. What's the correlation from your perspective of the planets and us? Like
my opinion on astrology?
I guess. I mean, because I clearly feel it, but I don't understand, you know, I it always kind of fascinates me, like how something, you know, I don't even know the miles.
Think about this. Okay. The moon causes the oceans to shift.
Okay.
It doesn't touch them.
Right.
But by an energetic field, by the gravitational relationship between our planet and the moon, the oceans move.
Yeah, right on.
Now, energetically, that has all kinds of effects on humans as well. And outer planets, closer planets, all of that have energetic effects on us too.
Right.
So I tend to think that it's just like anything else. You know, it's a natural component that's exerting energy on us. And then our goal is to react in the best manner possible.
Right. Yeah, no, I feel that.
Maybe I should say respond instead of react.
Well, the respond almost seems like that's more conscious, and react is actually, you know, the unconscious.
Yeah.
All cheers for response. Three cheers, I mean, for response. So right on. And I do believe that it's in the response that the artfulness of living, because are these planets, are they there now for like the next, you know, 200 years or?
Well, no, Saturn's only going to be there until sometime in 2015.
Okay.
That's a two-year cycle.
Okay.
This is definitely a shorter duration. And I know sometimes depending on where the planet moves and how it moves in relation to our planet, you know. And I would have to look a lot of those things up if you're going to ask about direct cycles.
Okay.
But I do know because the Saturn one just occurred that it is 2 years.
Okay. No, right on. So, and it makes it, you know, it's kind of interesting that, okay, so Saturn cycle, at least just intuitively speaking, feels like has something to do with the transition of us going from the coming into 2012, which clearly feels like a demarcation of human history, you know,
mm-hmm.
on so many levels, whether it's, you know, biblical or whether it's the Mayans or the galactic alignment, you know, it seems like no matter what perspective we look at, there's been, you know, a focus that this is an accumulating year of shifting and systematic changing, systematic maybe to a planetary level, not necessarily to the, you know, it's not necessarily the human conscious, even though the human conscious is affected, we're not necessarily controlling this shift.
Mm-hmm.
That, and then afterwards, like, what's life going to be like? Okay, after, what's life going to be like December 22nd, 2012, moving into, because I think this is the preparation, the 3 months from October to December. And what you had said earlier, again, really resonated with me, because it's from December to March that I feel, you know, it's almost like that's the birthing process. You know, we're going through, you know, the old, that which is no longer needed, you know, kind of, you know, being faded out and, well, not necessarily. Some of it's going out in a blaze of fire, clearly.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
You know, but the following 3 months after December 21st, you know, that's when it'll be, it'll seem more, you know, more uplifting, or, you know, just have more of a sense of not
I think
so
a lot
much.
Of people are going to feel like there's at least one burden off their back.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think
yeah.
that there will be, I mean, even if it's not all of it, I think there will be this sense of relief. Especially
mm.
for those people who have been doing the work. They're like, I want to come back to myself. I want to find this freedom. I want to find this authenticity.
Yeah.
I'm willing to fight for it, even if it's painful.
Yeah.
I think those people are immediately going to feel a rush of relief.
Nice.
Like, I
yeah.
made it.
Yeah, exactly. And not just from a, you know, philosophical, but actually energetically, you know, actually making it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Meaning becoming, you know, whatever it is that we become once we've made it.
You're right.
Because it's, you know, it's just one of the most poignant times in human history. And I'm truly grateful to be here,
mm-hmm.
you know, but I'm humbled because, I it's so funny because I'm bipolar. And, well, I was diagnosed bipolar. And as I track myself once again, my mm-hmm. bipolar experiences of my highs and my lows are, you know, they become quite humorous when I start getting into the witness because, you know, my highs, I'm screaming from the rooftop that, you know, okay, I can fly. You know, and then my lows, I'm like, you know, crawling on the earth, you know, you know, just looking for a little puddle of water to sip into. You know,
I went to college with a guy who literally had some sort of condition. I don't know what it was, but he couldn't feel emotions.
Really?
He couldn't really be happy. He couldn't ever really be sad. He was just in this constant state of middle.
As a condition, like it was a diagnosis. That was a diagnosis?
Yeah, and I forget what it's called now, but he never really had any sort of blip. You know, he never moved. He was just in this constant state of medium, mellow, nothing affected him. And I thought, when he told me about this, I thought, how wonderful.
Mm.
You know, you are always this calm, collected, mellow guy. You don't have to go through any of this extreme spring stuff that, you know, the rest of us experience.
Right,
and
right.
But then he said to me, well, I don't really know what it's like to be happy.
Wow.
So he goes through his whole life never being happy. Now he's never sad. But he's never happy.
Yeah. I that's so different from my experience. You know what I mean? Because I'm going to myself, but I want that. And, you know, for me, the extremes have, you know, shown me the path of my journey. So, you know, I'm not at the, you know, The lows definitely suck, and the highs are manic. They are. They're, you know, I'm a nutcase. You know, most of the time I'm just a nutcase. But and it's funny because, you know, I'm going to myself, you know, of course my mind kicks in, goes, is that the goal to get where he's at, or is that just another level of experience that his, you know, that his body doesn't respond to certain stimuli? You know, I don't know. I don't have the answer to that. You know, is he the enlightened being?
Yeah, I think in his case it's a brain chemistry thing.
Okay.
Like he just doesn't manufacture the differing levels of chemicals that allow people to have those moods.
Okay.
He's just always in one phase, you know, one experience.
Wow. Like,
yeah, I know. It's
mono emotional living. Mono.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? Wow.
Yeah.
That's like seeing only the color blue.
Mhm. It would really be like living in a gray world.
Yeah. That's very. I wonder if he dreams. When he dreams, if it's you know, because it's not physical.
Oh, I wonder that too.
Yeah.
I should have asked that.
Oh, well, if you talk to him again.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right on. Area code 256, we have time for another reading. If you're interested, press 1 on your phone, and I will know that you can come in next. Also, Nathaniel Knows Best. that's his screen name. I'm not
okay.
Psychic. if you'd like a reading. okay, the caller would like a read. Okay, area code 256. You're live on the air with Jennifer Adele.
Yes, this is Jimmy.
Hi, Jimmy.
Robinson. What's up?
Hi.
Hello. How's it going?
It's going good. Would you like a reading?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you want a general reading, or
do you have a question?
No, it's specific about Washington. Am I supposed to go to Washington?
Okay. Let's see what we've got here.
Are you running for president?
No. No. The other Washington. The state.
Oh, the
other
state.
Oh,
okay.
Sorry. Thank you.
Different Washington.
Okay. Let's see what we've got. Well, the animal that we have for you today is the kingfisher.
Okay.
And the kingfisher is known for reincarnation and moving into a new life.
Yep.
It also forebodes calm seas, fair weather, and good days. So I would say that is. Oh, I'm sorry. Calm seas, fair weather, and good days. So it is definitely very fortuitous of a good move.
Yep.
That much I can tell you. And then in terms of nature symbology, I pulled a lush green forest.
Yep.
Which I'm like, no, I know exactly what this is. I don't think I have to go any further there.
Nope.
I think you know exactly what that is.
Nice.
Yep. I can see it.
I would say it looks very favorable.
Thank you.
You're most welcome.
Great news.
Yeah. So you going out there to for a job or?
No, I want to go into the forest.
Really?
My hammock. Yeah.
Are you really?
Yeah, I've got the redwoods and the Oregon State Forest in Washington. I'm online.
Huh. So you're just being called to the forest.
Totally, I can't get it out of my head. It's like the redwoods. I'm in Alabama right now.
Okay.
You're pretty far from redwoods.
Yeah, I know. I'll get out there.
Yeah, well, call in and let. I mean, you know, you're talking to. We're basically all nature freaks around here, so I totally support that. And one of my bucket lists is to. It's to camp in the redwoods as well. I mean, these are 2,000-year-old beings. You know, you want to talk to somebody who's been around. I would say a 2,000-year-old being is somebody that would probably have some wisdom to share. So that's pretty amazing. Yeah.
I want to put my feet on that tree.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, they're huge and they're amazing, and I'm glad you called in. That's hot.
Yeah,
keep in touch. Let us know how, I don't know if you'll have any kind of technology, you know,
no,
to call from the forest. Oh, all right.
No,
definitely.
I'll totally get an apartment and then go into the forest.
Oh, okay. I don't. You know, you really don't know, right? These days, anything flies.
Right.
So,
yeah, I can't tell.
Oh, but so you're saying it's actually just the forest, though? So it's not a job, it's not a girl, and it's not.
No, well. It's got to be
a
job, too. I'm going to do the alchemy thing. I'm going to work with alchemy.
Oh, with Almeen? Are you working with Almeen?
No, alchemy.
Okay, no, right. Yeah, you know, I heard that. Almeen is a teacher who is in, Oregon. She works with alchemy. I worked with her. That's why I asked if it was her. Alchemy, just on your own, or are you working with a teacher? Or?
Yeah, I'm going to learn to what's called spagyrics. I'm going to make spagyrics. You know what that is?
What is? No.
It's alchemy, like the alchemical arts.
Okay.
Yeah.
I understand alchemy from the point of view of, you know, the organic magic, you know, coming into play. It's a vast subject, so I didn't know if there was a specific teacher you were working with or.
Yes, it's actually a company online. They make a lot of medicines.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah, I'll be working with that and getting into the forest and whatever else, you know, just comes up. We'll just have to come up.
Yeah, right
on.
Yeah, that's. Are you in your 20s? Are you in your 20s?
Yeah, I'm almost 27. I've almost died several times, though.
You've almost physically died several times?
Yeah, I've kind of had some heart pains and heart attacks and a couple of strokes.
Oh, my God.
You know, hence it feels like a wake up call. You know, live your life now because now is the time to live it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm pretty old, so I got to get to the forest. I know that sounds weird, but I'm really old.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah, that happens so many times, and you're old. You're a little old.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. No, okay, right on. Well, I truly believe from my own experience. I haven't been with the Redwoods, but the forest absolutely rebirths you. I mean, I feel old when I'm not in the forest. I'm 47, and I feel like I'm 147 when I'm not in the forest. And yet, when I'm in the forest, I have to be there often. Yeah, so I really do. I resonate and respect your choices, and I wish you all the best. You know, rock on.
Maybe I'll see you there.
Definitely. Yeah. Well, hey, keep in touch. If I know there's a place to stay, you know, it's a bucket list. So we'll do the show from your place. We'll
all
call
right.
up Jen and we'll all have a party.
There you go.
All right. Well, I appreciate you calling in. Definitely keep in touch. I like your energy.
No problem.
It's nice. Right on.
This is
right
Timmy,
on.
By the way. So you'll remember.
Pardon?
Jimmy is my name. That way you can remember.
Jimmy? Yeah, thank you. If I forget, I'm in my 40s.
It's cool.
Yeah.
I
remember your
worry.
Energy. Yeah, names, though. Energy is what I feel people, and
just
I feel you. So. Right?
One big heart and a big forest.
Yeah, right on. Mm-hmm. Tree people, forest folks, man. We all know
each
other because we feel the trees within us. So right on.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'll talk to you later.
All right, I appreciate you calling in. Thanks.
Bye.
Bye now.
Bye.
Wow. An alchemist going to the trees. I would say, you know.
I like it.
What a wonderful note to, you know, kind of conclude the readings on. You know, that was, you know, you just, it's all moving. It's all happening. You know, there's nothing I can do to stop it, which is, of course, a beautiful thing. I can't even muck this up.
No, you wouldn't want to.
I definitely not want to, but, boy, doesn't mean I don't think about that, you know, like, am I mucking this up? It's like, no. Yeah, exactly. So do you have any gigs coming up where you want to share where you're going to be at, you know, with the Haven?
Right.
Sorry.
I don't have any gigs coming up.
Okay.
I don't really have any gigs coming up. I'm just kind of getting through October, having some home repairs done, you know, just working on some projects and pushing forward. So hopefully
okay,
I will have
give,
the news.
Tell me about your book. When is the book due out? And
well,
can you give the title of it?
Yeah, I'm hoping it'll be due out by the end of the year.
Okay.
That's a little ambitious, but definitely by spring, but I really am pushing for near the end of the year.
Okay.
The title is The Haunting of Willow Tree Court.
Okay.
And it's focused around the central premise of sentience and everything.
Nice.
From the buildings, the houses, the plants, the animals, and the people. And they're all interacting with each other in this one small court of houses.
Nice.
And every time somebody changes or makes a decision, the houses change, the trees change, the animals change, everything changes around them.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's kind of the premise, for better or for worse, because, you know, we don't always make good decisions.
But they're always divine.
They are.
You know, right.
There's always
right.
a plan.
There's always a plan. Exactly. God knows I know these things. Well,
well,
I hope. I hope that you send me a copy. I want to read the book, and you know,
I will send you an autographed copy.
Oh, right on, Jen. Right on. Because as your friend Diane was saying, I would love to do a show about the book. You know, after the book is published, and I, you know, we get a read on it,
yeah.
and that would be
get a feel for it.
Yeah, exactly. I love you, babe. So, any closing statements to all those, you know, all those people out there who, I mean, because, you know, the readings definitely all, I liked it. There seemed to be a lot of balance. From what I could take, everybody seems to be very much, at least the callers that, you know, we were working with and the people in the chat room, everything seems to be on point. You know, mine was on point. Janine's, Jimmy's, Simon's. Any closing statements, you know, to help us on our way?
Just be you. Whoever you are, whatever that truth is of who you really are, be that.
Be that. Mm. Yeah, right on, babe. Right on, sweetie. I wish I had Let It Be on my cue. I would play it right now. But I would. We have a few minutes, but you know what? I'm also very conscious that when the energy is complete, do you feel complete? Because I feel pretty complete.
I do. I feel complete. I feel good.
I do too. I don't know if you can feel this, but I love you, Jen.
Yes,
I love you too. You are a beautiful soul, and I really the whole day of dancing with you was beautiful. Thank you.
Aww.
Thank you.
Bye,
yeah.
You love.
Thank you. Thank you. I feel you, baby. I feel you. And Monday nights, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, the Mystical Mother Earth Show. And I'll be honest with everybody. I've got some people coming in and wanting to do shows after today. I'm truly, you know, there's a beauty in who Jennifer is. I don't know that today would have turned out as exquisite if it was somebody else. So it will be spontaneous. When I'm going to do a show, it'll probably be posted like the day before, if not the day of. Because it's very challenging for me to plan these shows and then, you know, basically have some sort of breakdown. They'll come up as they come up, but you know, if you want to hear, you know, Monday nights at 8 o'clock, me and Janine will be doing our thing, and you know, the next time we do another reality show could be, you know, when Jen gets a hold of me. So, and Jen, anytime, you know, truly today was just telling me that it always works with us. So,
it will. Yes, totally.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, it's a frequent thing. Anytime you want to come on, you shoot me like we did. You just give me dates and. You know, we'll play.
We'll try to
you know
for something after Thanksgiving. Maybe we'll do 12-12.
90 seconds.
Oh, my. Okay, well, only because I'm literally, I got my hand on my heart going, okay. But right on, babe.
It's a Wednesday.
Okay. No, right on. And well, and it'll be another gate. I think there's probably potential in that. So, all right.
Ooh.
Mark your calendar tentatively. 12-12. You know, Goldie will fall apart in front of everybody, and Jenny and Jennifer will help us.
You'll be fine.
It's all good.
Seconds.
Right on, babe. All right. I love you. Thank you for being here. Thank you for listening, everybody out there. Art and Susan, Kathy, Janine, Simon. I love all you guys. If I've forgotten anybody, I apologize. But thanks so much for listening and supporting the show. And, you know, stay present. Be in nature. However, you know, the forest, the beach, the desert, or even just taking off your shoes and sitting on your front step with your feet in the dirt. It will absolutely assist you in these really intense times of change. So I love you all. Thank you for being here. And we'll talk to you guys soon. Bye now.
Thanks, Goldie.
My pleasure, Jen.
You've been experiencing another reality show with Golden Hawk. Another reality show is live Thursdays 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, or listen and be enlightened anytime that works for you. Questions or comments, email the show, goldenhawkfeather@yahoo.com. That's goldenhawkfeather@yahoo.com. Also, visit us on the web at www.anotherrealityshow.com. Remember, all you rule breakers, misfits, troublemakers, all you free spirits and pioneers, all you visionaries and nonconformists, everything the establishment has told you is wrong with you is actually what is right with you. You see things others don't. You're hardwired to change the world. And unlike 9 out of 10 people, your mind is irrepressible and you were born to be a revolutionary. And here at Another Reality Show, we salute you. Stay amazing and keep on flying. Good night.